Bid you welcome this morning again for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. I appreciate your desire this morning to assemble so we can give our worship to God as a congregation of His people. It's good to see so many guests company with us today. So that's always encouraging. Something else that's encouraging, we have company here from Amarillo, Brother Al. He was here for Bible, he and his wife Linda for Bible class, and every once in a while when I'd say a few things, he'd amen. I said, well, that. Amen. So I want to encourage you, it's okay if you say amen. It might startle me for a moment, but then, I'm not going to lose my place in my notes and have to start the sermon from the beginning again. So don't worry about that, but you're very welcome to just amen all you want to. Kay's son Kevin's here, and she told me a story years and years ago. I don't know how he's way up here now, but where you were, but he mentioned one time, he says, I like that when Brian preaches, he hands out notes. And Kay said to him, well, why do you like the notes for his sermon? Is it so you can follow along so easily? And he said, no, I like the notes so I can see how close he is to being. She didn't say that. So I hope you have an outline. I think we ran out of bulletins this morning. So if you see someone that you think would like to follow along that doesn't have an outline, you're very welcome to share. As Rick said in his introduction, the lesson comes from the text this morning. It was given to us. The key on that word is fellowship. Fellowship. And I give some definitions in your notes this morning. But there's one other verse I'm going to use as an introduction. In 1 John chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. And John says, if we say we have fellowship with Him, meaning God, and we do. A lot of people, I have fellowship with God. It's my God and me. Count me in when it comes to fellowship with God. So John says, so if you say that and walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So our lesson is on fellowship this morning. Fellowship, by definition, communion. Let's get together. We share something in common. Our faith is one. It means communication. Can we talk? Fellowship means we are a partaker or we are partners. If we have fellowship with God and one another, it means we're companions. We get along. It means there's an association. We are a group of people with similar interests. If I have fellowship with God, I'm interested in what He has to say. And I want to do what He requests. It's an attitude where I present myself before God and I say, speak, your servant is listening. If you send, I'll go. If you command, I'll obey. We have fellowship. So now, not only is our fellowship with God, but it's with one another. With one another. There's a brotherhood. You know, when I mentioned Al here, I said, brother. Yeah. Sister Linda. Brotherhood. So, first of all, we have fellowship with Him, meaning God. His Son, Jesus. And that fellowship is determined by our walking in the light. When you think about light, it's a symbol of everything lovely, beautiful, holy. Light is good. It's desirable many times. It's lovable. I want to walk in the light. In the light. In verse 5, John says, God is light. I want to walk with God. Fellowship with God. Let's go hand in hand. Yeah. We have fellowship by doing the truth, he said in the text, in verses 6 and 7. Our fellowship is with him when we do his commandments. So now there's some conditions. Oh, you have fellowship with God. Okay, count me in. Do you do his commandments? Bring that hand down a little bit sometime. Fellowship with God is determined by our walk with him, by our doing what he says. And then John mentions something else. Not only fellowship with God, but fellowship with one another. Oh, that communion, that camaraderie, that brotherhood. Those of us who are partakers of like precious faith. We have fellowship with those who are sitting beside us, those behind us and in front of us. Oh, fellowship. Communication with each other. All those definitions. We walk in the light. Next, with that introduction, Peter mentions at least six things that identify our fellowship. What does that fellowship look like in more specific terms or words? And you know, see that phrase, one with another. It's not just one. There's another. Same thing with our fellowship with God. It's me and God. It's one with another. Here it is. Six. I'll read the particular verse that Peter mentioned, beginning of verse 8. It says, finally, there's a conclusion to be made. After all is said and done, Peter says, think about this. Finally, be ye all of one mind. Then next, having compassion one of another. Mm-hmm. And he keeps going. Number 3, love as brethren. King James says next, be pitiful. Think of yourself as, I'm pitiful. Be pitiful. Be courteous, King James translation says. Not rendering evil for evil.
No.
Don't render railing for railing. No. But contrarywise, meaning the opposite, blessing. Knowing that, when Paul says, or Peter says, knowing. There's something that he wants us to take to heart. Take it to mind. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. That, what's the blessing in all of this? That you inherit a blessing. Oh, okay. That's what I want. So here are six things that Peter mentions that contribute to our fellowship with each other. We know what it takes to have fellowship with God. We walk in the light. We do according to truth. But now let's focus on us, those around us. Number 1, be all the same mind. What if everyone thought the way you do about Bible study? What if everyone thought the way you do about Bible class? About prayer? What if everyone thought the way you do? Would there be more prayers said? What if everyone thought the way you do about attendance? Said be of one mind. Think alike. Like-minded. Live in harmony with one another. It means if we're going to be like-minded, we're united in thought. There's a unity of spirit. One with another. So I don't want just my thoughts to be mine. I want us to think alike about spiritual things. Think alike. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, fulfill my joy. Oh, Paul, what's going to make you happy? Mm-hmm. What's it going to take? Well, in this particular verse, he says, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Oh, that'd make me happy if we all did that. That'd bring me joy, bring you joy. We're thinking alike concerning prayer and benevolence and ministry and getting along. We're thinking alike. Oh, that would bring me great joy. Second is compassion. Compassion. By definition, it means to be moved over another's distress. You ever wonder why we have announcements before we begin the worship assembly? Not just to take up time. I want to learn about the needs in the life of one another. I want to learn about what you're going through, those who are sitting beside me and those in front and behind me. We make announcements. We have a printed bulletin so you'll be aware of what's going on in the life of one and another. Share with me, so maybe even after the assembly, I can go over to you and say, what do you need? How can I help you? Call me. Let me get that for you. Compassion? Yeah. It means to have mercy. It means to show kindness. Compassion. It means to have benevolence toward one another. Couple stories I put in your notes. Remember the son who was prodigal in the Bible. Took that which his father had given him and he went to a far country and he wasted it. Oh no. You wasted what I've given you? Yeah. Came to himself and decides to come back home to the father. I wonder what the father's going to do. So Luke chapter 15, verse 20 said, he arose from the hog pen that he was in. Came to his father, and when he was yet a long ways off, father saw him. Father saw him. He didn't bolt, close the door and bolt it. Next phrase is, had compassion. Had compassion. Ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. Compassion. I want to be moved by your distress. Do you need help? No. I want to exhibit compassion because we have fellowship one with another. I want to have a share or be a partaker in that. Another story, remember the story of the Samaritan that we call good. And there was a thief that was, or a person that was robbed on, and left on the side of the road. And a couple of religious people walked by. You know, the Bible said they came and saw, but then they continued their journey. And so here's the story in Luke 11, verse 30. It says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and then they departed, leaving him half dead. And then the religious people, just and went. They left. But verse 33 says in the story Jesus told, a certain Samaritan, don't tell his name, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, had compassion. So are you going to just give a disc? And leave? No. Had compassion. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. When Jesus finished the story, Jesus asked those people that he was teaching, he said, now who was neighborly in the story? And they answered correctly. The one who showed mercy. The one who showed mercy. What does our fellowship look like? What does it look like? Compassion. Think alike. Number three is love as brethren. We think, I know what love is and what, certainly I hope I know what it looks like. But love is words and actions that seek the best for another. That's the definition of love, or at least one. It's an expression of, and an attitude that says, that really does say, how can I help you? Can I be involved in your life? What do you need? It's second mile Christianity. Remember when Jesus said, somebody said, go 1 mile, and Jesus said, go two. If someone needs a coat, give them a cloak also. Give them two garments. Do more than what's expected. That's fellowship. A little more. Love as brethren, because we're a brotherhood. We're a family. Number four, that King James word, be pitiful. The New King James says, be tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. And again, remember our fellowship is one and another one. One and another one. You see, Christianity can't be lived in isolation. You may think that. Oh, I'm good because I'm with God. No, God and I are on the same side. God can always count on me. But wait a minute. We have fellowship not only with God, remember the introduction verse, but we have fellowship with one another. You break your fellowship with one another, you break your fellowship with God in the same way, the other way. You break your fellowship with God, you broke our fellowship together too. Be pitiful, tenderhearted, good-heartedness, caring. Be tender-hearted. Take it to heart. Number five is be courteous. Well, that's common sense, isn't it? Our parents teach us that from the time we're youngsters. Be nice to people. Be courteous. Be free from self-centeredness. Be humble-minded. Be polite. Be gracious. Be well-mannered. Be considerate of one another. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So when I think, what do I need? That's what I need to look for in the lives of someone else. What do you need? Fellowship. Remember, can't live your Christianity in isolation. How can I help you? How can I help you? The last one I put would be a blessing. A blessing. He gives the contrast. He says, don't render evil for evil. Don't rail against someone because they railed against you. Well, I want to get even. Oh, no, no. Paul says, with our fellowship with one another, don't retaliate. No. But contrary-wise, the opposite, I want you to be a blessing. I want you to bless me, and I'm going to bless you. Yeah. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it just says, recompense no man evil for evil. Paul said it again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. See that none, don't anybody, render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves, self-fellowship, and to all men, even those without. How can I be nice to you? A blessing. I want to be a blessing. When someone treats us badly, don't be like them. Don't you be them. I want to be good. Amen? Amen. I see Brother Al's lips moving. Amen. And then the last, knowing that ye are thereunto called. We're called. Yeah. That you should inherit a blessing. Yeah. God will bless us. You know, when you become a part of any fellowship, any organization, any group, it could be a sports group or something with your business or where you're employed, when you become a part of that, you assume an obligation to contribute to its success or you're contributing to its failure. Any organization in life, not just talking about church, just the general motto of life, if you join that fellowship or that organization, you assume an obligation to make it succeed. And if you don't do that, you contribute to its failure. Think about the congregation now. You become a part of this congregation. There's an obligation to contribute to its success through a fellowship one with another. And if you don't want to fellowship with one another, then you contribute to our failure, our demise. So these are six principles or attitudes or actions that Peter gives that says this is what your calling, your fellowship should look like. That's the challenge. That's the goal. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you haven't obeyed the good news, the gospel message, you're subject to it. When Jesus commissioned his apostles, his disciples, the very last words, Jesus, what do you have on your mind before you leave? And so Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, the closing verses, go into all the world, make disciples or teach or make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he closes it and records it, go into all the world or preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that's the message we preach at the close of every lesson. There's a simple plan or formula. As Jesus said in his words, I want people to hear. I want you to hear. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So we teach, we preach. Then you'll need to believe. Believe the message that's been taught. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe that good news message. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, I want to come to God, must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. I want to hear a good news message that God so loved the world, and I want to believe it, take it to heart. Then number three, I want to turn my life around because of what I believe. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I want to be saved. I want to be on God's side. Number four, I want to confess my faith, my belief. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him a Jesus message in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian interrupts Philip's sermon and says, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he makes a confession of his belief. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son. You know what Philip did next? Commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. Here's a man who has heard, he believes the message, the Jesus message that he's been taught. He's willing to obey, turn his life around, and he makes his confession. And then number five, they both go down into the water, and Philip baptizes him. They come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. And you've heard me say it, salvation is always an occasion of joy. Yes. Always, every time. So that's an invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. We sing a song of invitation, a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation to give you time to reflect on your relationship with God. If you're subject to that invitation, to obey that good news gospel message, we simply ask you to come while we're singing this song and have a seat beside me. And at the close of the song, I'll just ask you a question, what's on your mind? And you will say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And we will stop the assembly and baptize you right now. All things are ready. So let's stand together in a public way, or if that's your desire, please let it be known by simply coming to the front and let that request be made.